This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Nicola Clare. How are you, Nicola?
I'm very well, Chris, and thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You work for Armit Wines and I think you're a brand manager for them, but your boss, Brett, who I interviewed last week, said that you are the man to talk to about En Première.
Well, nice of him, yeah. Yeah, I've been working with Armit since 2 years now. 2 years. And my role as a brand manager will be a relationship keeper. Let's keep it bring it like that. A managing relationship with some of our of domain or estates that we are representing within UK. I'm mostly responsible for Piemonte. I'm looking after our relationship in Burgundy as well. And one big player we've got within our portfolio is in Tuscany, Tenuta Sanguido. I'm as well responsible for Burgundy campaign en primeur, as much as Bordeaux as well en primeur.
Do you do any, some of the Italian wines do an en primeur type system?
Within the business, within Armit, we will always release en primeur, which doesn't have really much the same meaning that for Bordeaux or Burgundy, but we will do a release when the stock is not physical, basically, which is not when the stock is not in UK. It's a shorter period of time. Let's say, for example, earlier this year, we were releasing 2016 Barolo. So that means we will always release 4 to 8 weeks prior that the stock is physical to give an access to our clients and to secure allocation as well, which is quite kind of important. Some of our producers are very much in demand. So if you want to secure some stock of, if we speak about Barolo or Barbaresco, for example, Bruno Giacosa, you will have to make a move prior the stock is physical. Despite the fact we will always, as a business, keep a part of that stock to become physical, to be able to distribute that stock to mostly restaurants, which we know since years now that for restaurants to tight up a stock which is not physical is very difficult. So for restaurants mostly, for on-trade, we will always have a bit of stock remaining physical. But we sell as... We will sell a part of our allocation.
Just before we get into talking about En Première in a little bit of detail, your background's as a sommelier, and you've done quite well. You've done a few competitions, and you've sort of UK Sommelier of the Year.
Another life.
Do you want to give us the highlights of your sommelier career there, Nicola?
I arrived in UK in 2003. I'm from France, you can tell by my accent, I guess. And so I was trained and as a sommelier already in France, but most of my career as a sommelier has been done in UK. I arrived in 2003, it is true. I won the Best Sommelier of UK competition in 2007. Done a few diploma alongside the way. Became a master sommelier in 2010. And then left the restaurant business in 2014 to join Berry Brothers and FMV as a salesperson for them and join Armit.
Why did you leave the sommelier business? Because you're sort of at the sort of pinnacle. Is it like I'm at the top, time to go, or you leave them at the top, or?
I still well involved in the sommelier world, despite the fact not being working on the restaurant floor. I don't know if you heard about the International Association of Sommeliers called ASI. ASI has some national association. So in UK, it's called Academy of Food and Wine Service, which I am the president. So I'm organizing every year the UK Sommelier of the Year competition. So I'm very much... still involved in the sommelier world within UK or within the world somehow. But I think I was in front of two situations back in 2014. It was either I was doing my own business as a restaurateur, which is at that time was something I'd never really thought about. Or otherwise, I was living and trying a new adventure, basically, or to become a bit more complete in the wine world. And I decided to join an importer at that time. And now that's been nearly 6 years. And I seen my career evolve quite well as well, working for importer or distributor. Mm-hmm. A bit similar path when I was in restaurant, you know, from a commis sommelier to a wine manager or managing several wine programs for multiple restaurants. So I see my path growing as well, but it's something different, but something very linked. The link is the wine anyway. So, it's interesting as well. It was as well out of interest to discover another part of the wine world.
Mm, definitely. Well, let's zoom in on Premier. And Brett last week just gave us a very brief overview of what On Premier is. But do you want to just tell us what you think it is and who... And, you know, why people would participate, well, the wineries participate in it?
On Premier, it's, there's several profiles and two clear different profiles. And I will only speak about those because otherwise we can expand. But so the two different profiles will be the On Premier release in Bordeaux, as Brett was mentioning last week, where the wine is released and with a minimum of 2 years after the campaign. And you've got Burgundy, where you've got wine becoming physical between six months to a year after that. So it's a shorter period of time. So it's a shorter investment, somehow, for those both profiles. I think originally, if we start to extend about Bordeaux was a way of selling the wine. You know, you have all those prestigious chateau, so they were in need to develop themselves everywhere in the world. So basically, so they started to ask a first part, which is named the courtier. So the courtier will work to put them in relation with a negos, and then the negos was in charge of distributing everywhere within the world. So it was as well financially very important for the chateau to help them to absorb the whole finance of producing a wine by selling it while it was being made, basically. So it is a kind of complex. It's sometimes difficult to understand, but it makes a lot of sense. And financially for the estate, I think it is making a lot of sense. There's been few variations through the years, but it's still a system which is in place and had a lot of followers, a lot of our net worth channel or private client as an investment or for drinking as well. And we see that a lot. There is way of making a lot of money and to have a lot of return of money. We were checking a reserve of some client earlier on this morning with a few colleagues. And, when you bought in 83, some 82, I don't know, Chateau Latour, for example, and then you want to put them on the market right now and you see the market value of a case that you've been buying, maybe, I don't know, £2,000 by 12 at that time, and now it's worth 15,000 and you luckily decided to buy 20 cases or had access to 20 cases, you are an happy man. We know by fact that since few years, or maybe even more, the return in terms of money and investment has been a bit diluted, and there's a lot of controversy regarding that system for Bordeaux. Not speaking about Burgundy, but for Bordeaux. But again, we end up this year under a very very difficult circumstances. The 2019 vintage, which was very very good vintage actually, didn't tell that much. But we had a lot of success actually, and so that's still working for our client at least.
When I first sort of heard about On Premier, you'd have these guys in their chinos going, oh, yes, we bought two cases and we're going to keep one and we'll sell the other. And the other one, when we sell it, it pays for our next two cases. So they were like going along the lines of, well, it's just free nice wine, really, isn't it? You know, but at the moment, when you look at the prices, some of them recent deliveries, by the time they've actually turned up physical, they're worth less than what you paid for them.
And yeah, and that's why there's so much controversy regarding regarding that whole system. Some people are in favor of it, some are not. Some estates have been out of it. We have the luck of dealing not exclusively within UK, but to share the importation of an estate called in Pomerol called Château Lafleur. They've never been a part of the Imprimeur campaign. So they release in the same time, basically, but within the campaign. And believe me, it's one of the rare Bordeaux right now which has a return in terms of investment. You can check on LiveX. It's one of the most praised sought after estate in Bordeaux, and we're very lucky to get access to it. But out of it is a system which still have a lot of interest from the top classified growth. But I will say, by being a cru bourgeois in the mass of the cru bourgeois, and if you are in that system, does it really make sense?
Talking about access to the wines, as Armit is involved in the on-premier system, do you guys, does it just, you said there was a couple of levels. You've got the producer, you've got the courtiers that feed then into the négociants, and then are you guys the négociant or do you purchase from the négociant?
Yeah, we deal exclusively with the négociant.
So you just, and does that mean that you guys get an allocation every year? And, because the people sometimes with on premier, it might be a pretty dodgy year and the prices are quite high and you're sitting there going, do I really want that product? But you've got this allocation that if you don't use it, you lose it. So it's a way of sort of ensuring sales even in the...
Yeah, and we have to perform year in, year out. Fortunately, Bordeaux had a run of excellent to very good vintage since 15. Yes, you are right. If you... your allocation from one year to another is based on what you've been buying the year before. And when we are in the campaign or sales team, if we know that the next vintage will be an extraordinary, we'll have to anticipate that we have to perform if we want the same allocation or more, basically. So we're dealing up with roughly between, it depends the year, but between 12 to 14 different negos. Yeah, we go through roughly around between 8,000 to 15,000 bottles.
8 to 15. Oh, that's quite a bit, isn't it? 8 to 15,000.
It's. We are not a big player as can be. There is bigger player within. But we, as Brett was telling you last year, EP campaign, both Burgundy Orb and Bordeaux have an important part of our budget. So it's. We can't neglect and. And as well, it's somewhere after the experience of 19, it's potentially somewhere we want to grow as well.
Yeah. I think the thing about Bordeaux prices is they don't necessarily, like everybody goes, oh, it's a good vintage, prices are high, it's a poor vintage. Well, in theory, prices are supposed to go down. But my experience is it reflects less about the quality of the wines in bottle and more about the world economic situation.
Well, yeah, and it will be reflected about the production as well. If it's a year has been severely hit by the frost, for example, so the production will be going down. So it's as well about yield. But yeah, you are right, and many people are right to question that system anyway, and the policy of pricing. We have big expectation of for next year. 2020 was a good vintage. We know that by fact now. A lot of people in Bordeaux are very happy. Price in 19, which was an excellent vintage and very much on the light of 18, has been reduced between 15% to 30%. So what's going to be next year if the world is becoming normal again? Will they raise 30% pricing? Will they steady? And some Bordeaux needed that. And that's why people, I think, has been behind the campaign, because we needed to have a more realistic pricing, because prices has been going up, year on, year in for good vintage or year in as well for bad vintage, but the price has kept going. And somehow, I think that's reduction of price was welcome. And for us, it was very welcome as well because it helped us to generate more quantity as well. And on top wine, but because we are bringing a message that the vintage was excellent and was representing a great value for money because of the circumstance and the decrease of price. So a lot of people have been investing as well on what we would call drinking wine, you know, smaller, less no estate, less no classified growth, cru bourgeois, in the purpose of having them in 2 years' time and start to drink them earlier. And that was very interesting for us to constatation. It was very well welcome. And now we are about to start the Burgundy campaign, which has a different profile. EP in Burgundy has a different meaning. You will buy the wine to secure it, first of all, because if you don't buy it, if you don't buy your allocation of Le Fleuve or Roumier with us, if you don't buy it, we will sell it all before it's becoming physical, to be fair, because of the demand. It's as simple as that. And there is, we have seen, and it is known that the return of investment within Burgundy can be extraordinary, huge as well. So you buy at the best price to secure it, basically. 2019 in Burgundy, we will soon discover it. We haven't been traveling there yet to test it, so can't properly speak about it, but there's big expectation. We know that the yields are lower, so we will expect, rather than in Bordeaux, we will expect the price to go up. And we know that already because we received a few allocations already. It will be very difficult for us to get people to test it within UK due, again, to the situation. Yes. We release in January and we welcome between 200 and 350 people to sample before they buy. That will be very difficult. So we're thinking about solution, or we can at least not everybody, but at least maybe some of our top clients, top customer, to get access to give access to them to test the wine. But yeah, it's a different campaign, but we've got, again, big expectation about it.
Okay. Let's just talk about people when they purchase on Premier, because the wine gets delivered into the UK to you guys because you're the sort of first purchaser in the trade.
Yeah.
And then you've sold on. So it comes into a bonded warehouse.
Correct.
And we've done bonded warehouses with our audience a few years ago, but basically it means you don't pay tax, duty and VAT, which is nice. And the wines, do they get allocated straight, as soon as they arrive into your warehouse, if they're own private clients, do they get allocated straight to those private clients, or how does it work?
It depends. Some of them will pull them out of them reserve, because it's a kind of reserve. So they will pull them out and put them directly in the cellar, age them themselves. And those people, most of them will age them in their own cellar, potentially to drink it, to see the evolution, to, you know, from time to time to pull out a bottle, to see where it stands, if you've got the cases, and to try to enjoy it. So we'll call them the drinker, basically. And some of them will leave them with us. So we will manage them, store them for store the wine for them. And after a few years, our whole department of Height Net Worth are managing more or less as well the cellar of those people. So sometimes we'll tell them, yeah, what do you want to do? You know, do you want to put them back on the market? This is the current market value of your wine. You can make that amount of profit. If you are here for speculation, you can pull them out and drink them because they reach a certain window of drinkability. So if you like them on that profile, you will enjoy them right now. So that's a part of our service. Or would you like to sell it, maybe to reinvest on the next campaign, some cash, and we will propose that service as well to them, and we'll find someone to buy it. It can be another channel, it can be on trade, it can be off trade, or it can be to another private client.
It's not cheap storing the wines, though, is it? I had a look on your website about the wine storage rates that you guys publish, and if you've got, obviously a lot of your clients will have loads of wines, but the prices are all, you know, even if you've got 4,500 litres stored with you guys, it's still, what, 90 to case, it's still almost 10 quid a year to store a case of wine, which is... if you're holding the case for 10 years, it's going to cost you 100 quid just to, in the cost of storage it. And how long do these wines have an investable range? Yeah, what's the typical age that you might hold it for?
I will say it depends again the profile of the wine, you know. But I will say it depends as well on the market value, you know. Some market value, and just to give you an example, when we released Sassicaia 2016, today's market value double. So you can have bought it for 2 days and put it back on the market and double your investment about 3 days. But normally, I will say it's between three, five years to 10 years. That will be the window where you're going to have still drinkability, first of all, and still have a kind of growing pattern of pricing.
Yeah. Basically. So when does it start? Like, if you take a first growth Bordeaux from a pretty average year, not bad. When I say bad average, I don't mean like the Bordeaux average where the it rates as average, good, exceptional, outstanding. I mean, yeah. Average is in like the middle year.
Yes, things like 04, for example, 2000, maybe 2001, 99, which are perfectly, super wine to drink right now. But first of all, they were, as you mentioned, they were not extraordinary years. So as well, you need to keep in mind that if you invest in wine, you better to invest on an extraordinary year or fantastic year rather than an average year. Average year are mostly going to be for drinkers. So in Bordeaux, I will not expect your wine to have grown that much in terms of value anyway. So, if you bought some, unless, again, the top name, famous name, 5 years to 15 years.
Okay. All right. So what I'm hearing is that if some of them will buy it to drink and someone will just churn it quite quick. If you want to take an allocation in the top years as an investment wine, you have to take them in the slightly more dodgy years.
We will suggest you to take it because you don't know what's going to be the next few years. But if you've got, I don't know, 10 cases of Mouton Rothschild allocation, well, maybe not 10 cases because we're not dealing with that amount, for a single customer. But if you've got 2 cases a year, let's say 24 bottles a year, yet, please take them, support it, because some year will make your investment will grow, some will not, but you will be able to drink that those one, at least. It's not only about investment, you know. Mm. It's the same for us on the other way, you know. When we buy one from Negos, we try to replicate that as well to our customer. And, you know, and those customers have to be as well. I don't like that word education, but by principle, you know, if you are embracing a style of wine or the style of an estate or of a domain, sorry, yeah, you will become a regular client for it and you will support it year after year, you know. And that will be you will have a reward. Some year you drink it and you will have an extraordinary moment. Some of them will be a bit more average.
Cool. All right then, Nicolas, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you for your time.